So your girlfriend's there listening to you as we talk shit about your sex life. That's great.
Thanks for the heads up, Lauren.
Yeah, nice.
I've got the headphones.
All right. Well, tell her that we're really impressed with how she looks.
Yeah. Did you ever get that rash figured out?
Oh, man. All right. I know it's Game of Thrones night, and Lauren's got the girlfriend there in the room, so why don't we get started right away? What do you think?
Sounds good.
Three, two.
The following program is rated TV-MAL.
You shitting me?
It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
Are you shitting me?
If there was any doubt about Mike starting week one, did he remove it today?
You know, I think, again, we're just going to keep evaluating. Obviously, we haven't changed our depth chart for some time now. I don't anticipate it'll happen. But, like I said, I've been pleased with the room. I was even excited to watch Connor Shaw come in.
You got to be shitting me.
I think he was 2 out of 3, looked kind of sharp. We didn't play Mark this week. He'll get some action next week. Mitchell, I thought, continued to progress. And, we were very happy with the way Mike responded. And, as far as a real game plan and what he did, I thought he played very well.
Fans, this is Bears Ballroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and that was, of course, Bears head coach John Fox mumbling and grumbling his way through an answer posed to him by the Chicago media about Mike Glennon's status as the number one quarterback of the team. I don't know about you, but I'd almost translate that as, we have not made a final decision on who starts week one. Perhaps I'm wrong, and if I am, I'm sure the excellent Bears analysts we have here at the Barroom will let me know and let us all know their overall thoughts on the Bears' 19-7 victory at Tennessee over the Titans in the all-important third exhibition game. Let me introduce to you Bears Barroom analyst and Bears Hour Live co-host, Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin, the smartest man in the barroom, Shane Marsall, and we welcome our special guest, Lockdown Bears podcast host and BearsWire.com contributor Lauren Cox. Welcome, men. Listen, I want to do this quickly, get everyone's thoughts on who should be starting week one. And so I'm going to go around the table. I'm going to give you each 60 seconds to tell me who should start at quarterback week one and why. And at 60 seconds, you will hear this. And then later in the show, we'll get back to you and you can expound on those thoughts. But I want to make sure that everyone gets their opinion here in the top part of the show. Shane, I will begin with you. Mike Glennon had indisputably his best outing as a Chicago Bear. He was 11 of 18 for 134 yards. He passed for a touchdown. He had a 102.5 quarterback rating. And disputably, he looked much more comfortable throwing the ball. He was more accurate, made better decisions. Is he your starting quarterback against Atlanta? Go, Shane. Start that clock.
No, he is not my starting quarterback. I definitely start the young pup, Mitch Trubisky. This is a young, ascending team, and you start to see these parts on defense starting to come together. And we see a big piece go down on offense and Cam Meredith today. And everybody knows that when you're building a team like this, the cohesion is one of the most important building blocks in that process. And I want to put him out there and get him as much exposure to the NFL game as possible, because we all know when he was coming out that the biggest flaw against him was lack of experience. So I love everything that I've seen so far from him. Yes, there's ups and downs, but we're going to see that with this entire team. And I would much prefer that Trubisky go out there and gobble up every rep that he can, and I think it's going to pay off for the Chicago Bears down the line.
All right, man. You did a great job there in 60 seconds. Let's see how I know this is going to be tough for Phil.
Oh, shit. Phil's fucked.
keeping a full response to 60 seconds could be a minor miracle here in podcast world. Phil, Kevin Fishbane tweeted out Trubisky's stats with the number ones. He was 3 for 6 for 33 yards with a passer rating of 66.7. And with the twos, he was 7 for 9 for 95 yards, a touchdown, and a rating of 147.7. Does that tell you that Mitch needs more schooling and should sit week one or not? You are on the clock, 60 seconds.
No. Go, Lauren.
I've been very clear and concise that it's not anything that I don't believe is going to change on this show, but I think it's very, very obvious difference between Mitchell Trubisky and Mike Glennon. No matter who they're playing in the preseason scrimmages, the accuracy and the decision-making transcends no matter what game plan and planning to Atlanta. I think Atlanta would have a more difficult time defending Trubisky than a statuesque and inaccurate Mike Glennon. Stats don't say it to me. The proof is in the pudding. This coaching staff has failed in the assessment originally of talent on the roster and how to play it. Jordan Howard, Cam Meredith, and I believe that the quarterback position, the most important position in all of sports, has a history of being a failure here in Chicago, and I think John Fox is carrying that tradition.
Nicely done, Phil. I thought that was
thank you, sir.
Commendable.
Can we keep that? Can
despite
we keep
those
that
two
for every
assholes
show?
Interrupting,
keep the buzzer for every time Phil talks. Yes. Is that what you said, Shane?
Yes.
Every show. Hey, I was, I just step in the pocket. I deliver.
There you did. So. You did. Excellent job. All right, we're going to turn it over to Lauren. This is the TV call on the Glennon touchdown drive, the opening drive of the game.
And they'll do it again from a lot closer. From the one. The fake. Glennon going end zone. Touchdown. Deion Sims. What a drive.
Now, Glennon's quarterback rating on that drive was 142.6. He completed 7 of 9 passes for 86 yards on a 15-play, 96-yard drive. He was 3 for 3 on third downs. All three of those completions, I believe, were to Kendall Wright, and he threw that touchdown pass to Deion Sims. What'd you think of his performance, Lauren, and do you think Glennon deserves to be the starter week one? You have 60 seconds.
If my goal is to win the most football games in 2017, then I'm starting Mitch Trubisky week one. But I do understand some of the process, the thought process behind starting Mike Glennon week one, just because, again, Mitch Trubisky has flaws, which is okay. He's a rookie. Not any flaws that keep him from being a starting quarterback in week one, but just if you want to, if I'm the coaching staff and I watch Trubisky at practice and I feel like he could benefit from more time on the bench, which we don't know, and it doesn't appear so on tape, then I could see Mike Glennon starting week one, and I could see also trying to build his potential trade value. But I think they're totally missing opportunities if Mitch Trubisky doesn't start a significant number of games this year. And again, he gives you the best chance to win week one and week 17.
All right, I think we got most of that.
It's a long break. It was a long break. The girlfriend is trying to text.
What is your girlfriend doing?
Was it
doing
before
to
I started
you?
Or after I started?
No, during. We
all of it.
Yeah. But,
really?
Yeah.
I don't finished worry. And there was this long before any of you guys said anything, and I wondered what was going on.
Where did you finish, Lauren? That's what
you're All right. I know that during the game, Shane and Phil were kind of going at it. Actually, it was probably after the game in direct messaging on Twitter and having a conversation about who should start. So I'd like to kind of turn it over to you two guys so that you guys can kind of debate with each other on who should be the starter week one. Shane, why don't you start off with your thoughts and maybe characterize what you and Phil were talking about.
I think I converted him. Didn't I convert you?
Well, yeah, this I'm more on what Lauren said. If I'm making the decision myself, it's Mitchell Trubisky to me. But like Lauren said, I understand the process. They did make an investment in Mike Glennon, and I don't think that it's a catastrophic event if they give him a short leash to go out there and prove that he can't do it, you know, to show why they made the investment in him. Because let's be honest, they want him to go out there and show some semblance of being a competent quarterback so they can pawn him off in the offseason to a quarterback needy team. And, you know, at the same time, you make that switch to Mitch Trubisky, there's no turning back at that point. You know, if Glennon goes out there and stinks it up for the first two or three or four games, whatever it is, and they switch it over to Trubisky, other than an injury, you're rolling with him for the remainder of the season. So, you know, looking at the bigger picture team-wise, I think they're going to give, and this is what I mentioned to Phil specifically, I think they're going to give Mike Glennon just enough rope to hang himself, give him that short leash to prove that he absolutely can't do it. And then once he does that, you know, open the floodgates, and it's Mitch Trubisky time in Chicago.
Aldo, I completely disagree. I think this is a game, a sport that I grew up with in my blood, and you play the best. I mean, I just look at this game, a game they've admitted that they've game planned for. We're seeing hop, 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 weird delivery, lay into the ground, misses. You hit that one pass to Deontay Thompson in that two-minute drill. That's an NFL football player. This guy is so erratic, so inconsistent, that to put him out there is a disservice, and it's a disservice to the team, it's a disservice to the fans, and it's a disservice to Mitchell Trubisky. You know, there's nothing wrong with Jameis Winston right now down in Tampa, and they did the same thing to this guy, because he's not good. It's that simple. I'm sorry. I don't give two shits about a plan. Plans are made to be changed when you see they don't work. And clearly on tape, it's evident to somebody who, I mean, loves the game of football, to the quietest fan in the room, to the smartest man in the room, that it's not even close. So you turn the page and you make Mike Glennon a very valuable backup, because that's what he is. He's a backup quarterback. He's not a starter. So as you raise the white flag to the rest of the league, because this guy is going to make stupid decisions, he's unathletic, he locks in on his main target and he decides to try to force it in there, you're going to see a loss. Now, I'm not saying he can't win a game or two here, but we saw that with Matt Barkley. And Matt Barkley, I would take right now over this guy. That's how I feel so strongly about it. That's why I'm so adamant about this. Not trying to feed the cheer against Mike Glennon. That's not it at all. If I put something under a microscope and I look at it for what it is, I see the guy's average to below average. He is a backup quarterback. He's not a starter. I think you do a disservice to the young guy. There's no proven formula whatsoever except the best play. One play, all you got to think of, forget the touchdown pass to Gentry. Think about the play that Victor Cruz dropped off his face mask. That's going to happen in the NFL because defenses are going to game plan. And if you're not an athlete, you're going to get swallowed up. You can't break a tackle. You can't be accurate. What trait, besides being tall and having a long neck, does Mike Glennon have? What does he have? What does he have that's selling you, let's watch this game against the Falcons? He's an easy target for the pass rush. He's an easy read for the secondary. And he cannot boot action to help that zone stretch play, which is a huge part of your offense. So basically, without 140 characters, that's what I'm telling all you fanalists out there when you try to get at me about he's not ready, he's not this. I'm seeing a guy accurate. I'm seeing a guy ready to beat down the door that wasn't given, despite Hub Arkish. Yes, Mr. Lawrence Holmes, anytime you want to come on, Hub Arkish. Besides his shouldn't be a competition, never was. That is the fault of a head coach and making that decision with his offensive coordinator to, to coddle Mike Glennon's feelings and try to get or squeeze something out of the football player. Well, if you can't see it, then you've already lost the war. I've got plenty of tape up for Bears Barroom. I've got plenty of tape up on my timeline to showcase the difference between the two. And when you're talking about scrimmages, all they could do is play who's in front of them. And the traits, the accuracy, the athleticism, and the decision-making are all there. Just like Lauren said, there's going to be bumps in the road. He's a rookie. That's to be expected. But follow the Dallas Cowboys, Aldo, my last point. They had a great running game. They had a good defense. Not even, I would honestly tell Bears fans that the Bears defense is that better than the Cowboys defense was last year, right now, with their front seven and that linebacker core, who, by the way, Jarrell Freeman is just an animal. I saw great things out of Kwiatkowski and Christian Jones today.
All right, stay on topic.
Reasons to be excited. But if you add that running game and that defense with a young quarterback and you game plan of what you're going to do and how you're going to attack opponents by using what he does best, you are going to win football games. And that's the way I would roll as a head coach and if I was the GM of this team.
Lauren, I want to bring you in here. You got 2 cents? Jump in.
Yeah, actually, you can hear me all right now, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I feel like I know or I have a good idea of what the Bears' ideal situation could be this year. Like, it's not something that they could plan out. But, and again, I don't want this to sound like I wish an injury on Mike Glennon. But if you're Ryan Pace, the ideal world would be Mike Glennon starts week one, plays really well for 4 to 6 games, gets hurt. Mitch Trubisky comes in and plays well for the rest of the season. So then you have a Mike Glennon that has been playing very well and his trade value would be high. But you also have Mitch Trubisky in as your starter and getting starting experience. Like, I'd almost bench Mike Glennon, good or bad, the day that Mitch Trubisky is ready. Say Mike Glennon balls out for 4 weeks, but after 4 weeks, Mitch Trubisky has been great at practice and is ready to go. Just bench Mike Glennon. It's sort of the Matt Flynn there, where all you've seen is like 4 games of him playing really well. Some team will bite on that in a trade and give the Bears a little bit more than maybe they could have gotten if you let Mike Glennon play the whole year, comes back down to earth, maybe finishes with that, 59% completion percentage and 20 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, nothing, just sort of average quarterback. His trade value then drops. But if he starts playing well, that's when you yank him and you keep that trade value high and put Mitch Trubisky in there.
Well, I'll tell you, there's an awful lot of respect going on in the quarterback room between these two guys. This was Mitch Trubisky talking about Mike Glennon after the game.
He's been awesome. Just continues to handle himself as a professional. Me and him, just we block out the outside media, and I thought he balled out today, which was awesome to see. And he's helped me, and I continue to help him in any way I can, and he's been tremendous. And I think that bond in our quarterback room hopefully just trickles to the rest of the position groups, and we just could have a tight-knit team and just continue to get better each every day.
Shane, there's a lot to say about Lauren's point. Seeing Glennon have a good opening to the season shoots his trade value up considerably. That's actually one of the ways the Green Bay Packers set their kind of the foundation for their success over the last 15, 20 years. They had backup quarterbacks like Mark Brunell and Mike Flynn or I forget who the cast of quarterbacks were, but they were able to unload them and add draft picks. What do you say about Lauren's point?
No, it does. It makes a lot of sense, and it's there's a bit of a poker game to this whole scenario, guys. That I think that we tend to overlook. As I said, you gotta kind of look at how the Chicago Bears played the entire offseason when it came to quarterbacks. You know, yes, most of us here at the bar room wanted to go quarterback. Not you, Mr. Gandia, but that's for a whole nother show.
Second round.
But, you know, I think there's a bit of a poker game in this entire thing because, you know, John Fox today was specifically asked about a starter for week one for Atlanta today and asked if it was going to be Mike Glennon. And he didn't answer it.
That's how
we started the show, asshole. Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay. So I'm not gonna finish my clear and concise point there, Mr.
Can I jump in here? Who the fuck is Mike Glennon, and how does he have any value on the market? I'm going out here. I'm doing this, so, and then I'm gonna let Shane finish. I'm sorry, Shane. I freaking love you. I will unblock fucking Aaron Lemming. I will unblock Aaron Lemming and say whatever kind words anyone needs me to say to him. If Mike Glennon can start two games in the NFL, win them, or be competitive in them, I will unblock him. There you go.
You got to do better than that. You got to. Will you suck his dick?
No, I'm not going that far. Jesus Christ.
You got to give him something that he won't do, Aldo.
I won't. Nice.
Dude, it's got to be a punishment. No,
Michael,
not a prize.
Michael Glennon. Who's Mike Glennon all season. Do you know who he is? He's had one drive, Shane. And all of a sudden he falls apart to pieces. Good. They scripted a drive in preseason. This kid is not going to give you trade value. He's a joke around the football league. So I don't see any reason. He's a backup. Stop worrying about trade value. Let's worry about your future franchise quarterback. Like Hall of Fame tight end Tony Gonzalez was talking about.
Shane, I'll let you finish your point. Yeah. But to Phil's point about the scripted opening series, this is what Glennon said about it after the game.
I think, you know, having a game plan week, allowing to prepare for preparing for the opponent, understanding what they're trying to do in all situations, I think all that kind of helps the situation. Since we treated this more like a real game week.
He's about as articulate as I am. Go ahead, Shane, finish your thought.
Phil, do you have anything to add before I start talking? No, it's just back to my original point there real quick. I think there's a big poker game to a lot of this, and yes, I realize we started the show that way, but how easy is it for Ryan Pace? I mean, Ryan Pace has been very dismissive when any of the talk has come up. They've never come out. He's never committed either way. Yes, it seems he'll go out of his way to praise both quarterbacks, but you know, we just got to look back a few months ago how they played this off-season, you know, quarterback carousel, and I really don't think anything is out of the question. Would you guys be totally stunned if they came out Wednesday at practice and they announced Mitch Trubisky as the opening day starter? Would that totally floor anybody here?
I'd be a little surprised, but totally floored with this organization. Nothing would shock me. You know?
I think Mark Sanchez is the only quarterback that could totally floor us at
this
point. Yes,
yeah. Good point.
Yeah,
Connor Shaw too. We'll give him some credit. He played well.
I would be kind of shocked, to be honest. I'm with Aldo here. I just think this head coach plays it so close to the old way of thinking. There's no foundation of competition that really results in an ending that you want to see and that a team can, and granted, we're not in the locker room per se, but
can we say that there's been no competition when he started out at number 3 on the quarterback depth chart and he was getting, you know, snaps today. Yes, it wasn't very many with the ones. I mean, can we call this a competition under wraps? I mean, is that the best way? He's obviously moved up the ladder from where they expected him to be.
He was the second overall pick, Shane. Granted, I don't know why this is so hard. After the Denver game, this young man should have been, okay, you start next week, or you play the second quarter next week, and you assess them appropriately. Even today is a showcase in coaching negligence, borrowing from our friend, which was a great podcast, by the way, with Lauren Cox and Brian Perez, Aldo.
Thank you.
Borrowing from Brian Perez, because we walked hand in hand and step for step in the thinking that open competition brings out the best in both parties, and you really find out who the right choice would be, to now go into the third game, and it's the second half, first series, and we've kept a few the starters in for a series, and we're going to assess Mitchell Trubisky so fans can go back and forth on a fair analysis of the guy. I mean, it's very clear what he brings to the table, and being a rookie, giving him a very fair opportunity would either put egg on the face of Ryan Pace or whatever the fear is in their thinking. I don't understand it. But Mitchell Trubisky, with the same kind of game plan and set up play calling scripted in the second quarter, we're going to script the plays, Mitch. This is what we're going to do, and you're going to run the second quarter no matter what, to give the fair competition. That's a competition. That is what we're doing. And Mike Glennon is no Mark Brunell or anything the Green Bay Packers had. So I really don't see it, and I don't see any fairness to what transpired. I would be totally shocked if they came out this week and were like, Mitch is our starting quarterback. You saw what Hugh Jackson did. He started the kid in the third preseason game to assess him, and they came away with what they felt was the best for them. John Fox has done nothing of the sort, doesn't care to, it seems. So ultimately, you're going to see two losses and an embarrassment against the Atlanta Falcons with this kid against that pass rush.
All right, I think we can come back to this topic if need be towards the end of the show, but I think really what we've done in talking in old newspaper term is that we've buried the lead, and the lead being the injuries that the team suffered today. This was Coach John Fox talking about the Cameron Meredith injury and the other injuries that infected the Bears team against Tennessee today.
Cam Meredith is suspected to be an ACL injury. We won't know until we MRI it. He got a low high hit on a completion across the middle. A couple other guys, Jeremy Mass, hamstring, Leonard Floyd had a foot, Dan Scoot had a concussion, and Prince Macamoro made a tackle on a perimeter play that I think his knee got pinned in there, so we'll keep you posted.
Lauren, what does it do to the Chicago Bears offense if Cameron Meredith is out for the season?
Well, it takes away the one guy that knows this scheme and plays well at wide receiver. I don't know if there's anyone else that really quite fits that both of those categories, just because Kevin White is still a long work in progress, and you know, guys like Kendall Wright and Victor Cruz still learning the offense. I thought Kendall Wright played phenomenally, and he's going to probably be your leading receiver this year, and now it kind of leaves them scratching their head a little bit, and I think that opens up Tanner Gentry's roster spot. I mean, I think Adam Schefter tweeted that the Bears are confirming it's a torn ACL, but they're going to get a second opinion on the MRI. But assuming Meredith is on IR, I think that is Tanner Gentry's roster spot that was just secured on the 53.
Yeah, the scare is that hopefully it's not also a torn MCL, because if that's the case, according to Dr. Child at Pro Football Doc, he says then that his availability for the beginning of the 2018 season would be in doubt if it's a MCL and ACL. So let's keep our fingers crossed, say some prayers. Shane, what do you think is going to happen with this Bears wide receiver core other than perhaps Tanner Gentry making the team? Do you think the Bears might be interested in making a trade? I saw in one of your direct messages to the guys that you had a trade proposal in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I was throwing that out there to pretty much get everybody fired up. I don't think it's real plausible. I talked about trying to acquire Jarvis Landry from the Miami Dolphins, and the Bears head into next offseason without a third round draft pick, and for the draft compensation that a young ascending wideout like Landry is going to cost, I don't think it's probably in the Bears' best interest to fork over, I'm sure, what Miami is looking for, but they're absolutely 100% going to be in the wide receiver, scanning the waiver wires here when we have cutdowns next week and possible trades. You could look right at a team like the Tennessee Titans that have, a bunch of young, unproven wide receivers and maybe a couple too many for their roster. Phil's guy, Trey McBride, is one. They have a guy like Tajay Sharp to throw another name out there. But I absolutely think wide receiver goes right to the top of the pecking order before we move onto the Atlanta game for the Chicago Bears. And I agree with what Lauren said. I think Gentry was making some strides in practice. We saw him actually flash in the game today a couple of times, and that was really nice to see. And I think hopefully that you have a young guy that, I mean, it's really, you can't watch Mitch Trubisky play, and Lauren actually pointed this out on his Locked On Bears podcast, it's really hard not to see though you just see something with those guys. It's like he's that safety bubble for Mitch Trubisky, Tanner Gentry is, and I think he's probably locked up a spot on this 53, and I expect a lot of movement to be done on the bottom end of this roster. We've seen it the last few years with Ryan Pace, where he's brought in two and sometimes three guys off the waiver wire, and I like I said, I think wide receiver is priority number one right now at this point.
Phil, I tweeted out during the game that some of the wide receivers who are on roster bubbles right now are Philip Dorsett of the Indianapolis Colts, Brian Quick of the Redskins, who dropped a short touchdown pass today, so he might be looking for a job tomorrow morning. Harry Douglas of the Titans, I don't think he was on the field at all today, so he's probably looking for a job very soon. Jeff Janis of the Green Bay Packers, Jarius Wright of the Vikings, Darius Heyward-Bey, and Jermaine Kearse. Those are some of the top names, and I say top with quotation marks, some of the top names who have been rumored to be on roster bubbles. Any of those names turn you on, Phil?
Not really. I mean, Kearse is a guy that I believe bigger undrafted free agent Seattle makes plays with the ball in the air. He's a guy. Jarius Wright, kind of similar to our right here, kind of running those shallow crosses, getting in man coverage. I thought Lauren really did a great job talking about this receiver. I had Gentry making this squad already without the injury to Cameron Meredith. I thought he was going to be a surefire because of what the two boys alluded to, is that camaraderie and that feel he's developed with that young quarterback. I don't think that goes and falls idly on anybody else's eyes or ears in the Bears organization. I just think it would be important. The Bears also lost Reuben Randall to an injury, too. He was another guy on the roster that looked like he was going to have that same kind of feel with Trubisky. But it's concerning, Al, though, because as Lauren said, I felt like this was the standout. In fact, my notes to lead into tonight after the game was going to be, how important Cameron Meredith was to the Chicago Bears going into the season, and really to lose him, that's a hard loss for the Bears. So they're going, I mean, I think they're third, Lauren, in the waiver claim process. So I think you're going to see the Bears heavily active in that, because there's still questions that need, or are they going to just move players around? I mean, Deontay Thompson is somebody that's had a very good camp and has shown up. I mean, if it wasn't for a shitty thrown football, he probably would have had a touchdown today and people would be talking about him differently. So there's a lot of names out there. All of it is speculation right now. And I think Tanner Gentry is somebody that's too good to put on waivers, but we've seen this happen before with this team. So I'm just going to be sitting back the next week watching as this transpires, because this is going to be the game of the bubble boys, because all around the league, I think it was 1,814 players are going to lose their jobs in the next week. And that's going to be a lot of football players to go through and decide on fits and making more cuts on your own roster to fill in those needs. So the wide receiver position now, with Kevin White being almost handed a job, as we've talked about before, because he's done really nothing to cement himself in the game and saying he's legitimate football player. Wow, this guy is, he's our number one. Now, all of a sudden, you're taking two guys in Glennon and him and just giving them jobs, when really, do they give you the best opportunity? That's why I felt like Tanner Gentry was a lock to make this roster. Even with Cameron Meredith, I felt like he would have taken over at some point for Kevin White. Big mountain to climb, I know, today, but really ultimately now, I believe Lauren's 100% right. It's a given that that kid is going to be a, not only make the roster, but I think he's going to be a part of the game plan against the Falcons.
And a couple other wide receivers that I had my eyes on, specifically all with the Los Angeles Rams. They're a team that has a lot of wide receiver depth. Looks like they have about seven guys that they're going to want to keep, and not a lot of teams are going to keep seven wide receivers. But I wonder if maybe a surprise Tavon Austin becomes available, or more likely they'll have to cut one of either Farrell Cooper or Mike Thomas from Southern Miss, both rookies from last year, fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick. Doesn't seem like they have the roster space for all of them, but I would definitely swing the tires on either Cooper or Thomas if they become available.
Shane, the other super significant injury appears to be the one that Prince Amukamara suffered. Let's see, Rich Campbell tweeted out that Amukamara departed with a walking snow boot on his lower right leg, was also seen using crutches. Team says it's an ankle injury. Jeremy Kramer on Twitter says he wants our thoughts on Kyle Fuller. He must be super important now, given the success of the defense, especially when you think of week one in Atlanta. Clearly, Fuller makes the team now. He's not trade bait anymore. Would you agree with that, Shane?
Yeah, you know, Fuller has really stepped up his game here in the last couple of weeks, and it's really, you know, you see that first-round investment, and it's kind of, he flashed those first couple of games, and we all know what the whole process for him has been like here over the last couple of seasons. But just one thing on Amukamara real quick. I think that's pretty much a standard procedure with most ankle injuries with these guys, especially when they're going to be traveling and stuff like that, is to, you know, get that walking boot on there and not put any pressure on it at all. So hopefully we'll be able to see him bounce back, you know, fairly quickly here, because I think we're going to obviously need him. We know how these injuries seem to go for the Bears, but I have the game on in front of me right now, but I haven't really zeroed in on Kyle Fuller specifically yet. But last week he stepped up, and I think a lot of it with Fuller, you know, he's got the skill, but it just seems so much to be just a confidence issue. And I think it was Rich Campbell that actually brought that up too, just his general demeanor around teammates and in the locker room lately, he's noticed a change with him in that. So hopefully you're starting to slowly see him get some confidence back when he's starting to figure out, you know, what role the Bears are expecting him to be in. And I mean, the talent with the guy has always been there, and quarterback is a obvious question mark with this team. So yeah, we hope that he can continue this upward swing, and that'll only pay off for us here, you know, when the bullets start flying for real versus Atlanta.
Phil, another significant injury, although I don't think it's too serious, is the one to Leonard Floyd. It was just described as a foot injury. At one point, it was questionable whether he would return, so he wasn't immediately ruled out. And I went back and looked at his last few plays before he was pulled. He didn't see any action that I noticed of in the second half. And his next-to-last play of the first half, it looked like his left foot kind of got stuck in the grass as he was trying to create leverage on the pass protector. And that may have been when he injured his foot, but he did play the following play and looked fine. And then again, after that, like I said, he didn't play again. So the hope here is that this is not a significant injury. But talk a little bit about Leonard Floyd's impact on this team. I know that you tweeted out earlier during the game that he's fine and ready to go, meaning I think that was your way of understating that this kid's got something to offer, correct?
Well, twofold. I really was literal in finding out from a source that he was fine.
Oh, okay.
But in just continuing on, that Leonard Floyd has, you know, truly taken on, and I'll be the first one to eat crow with this football player, he's taken on the course. And what I mean by that, the course of being great means you have to play the run too. And today I saw moments where Leonard Floyd was unafraid to put his face in there and get into pads. I tweeted out one of the plays. It turns out Shane, the smartest man in the room again, was a little bit correct in seeing Will Demps coming in on the short yard, the fourth down conversion they had. They went for
Quentin Demps.
Quentin, thank you. Quentin Demps. I don't even know where Will Demps came in my head. But Quentin Demps
probably
comes in.
Probably not the first guy to come on your head.
Oh, Jesus. Well done. Well done, Shane.
You have to be careful, Phil.
I was totally giving him credit, too. Smart as his Fuller commentary was pretty damn good. But Leonard Floyd has taken on that next level of what you expect from a young pass rusher, not just be a pass rusher, be a all-around playmaker. And we're seeing those signs. And the play I was talking about was fourth down, and he comes clean because of his quickness and athleticism. He just steps inside, makes himself skinny, turning his shoulder, getting inside penetration. If he throws his arms, he'll grab hold of the guy's jersey or body and take him down. He doesn't. He tries to finish him with a shoulder pad, and Demps collides with him, almost blocking him for the running back to get the hole. So little things like that are small. Did he get there? That's the most important thing in a scrimmage like that. He did, and you coach that up. Throw those arms. Those long arms are going to redirect or take Jersey down, and you finish people like that. But the kid's pass rush ability and his hand movements to gain separation is growing. And then you look at the other pass rushers on the roster, and you really are kind of defunct, so to speak, with the way Lamar Houston played today. Willie Young didn't have that great of a football game today. Granted, again, scrimmage, but you want to see someone rise up here, and obviously Leonard Floyd flashes, And those flash plays, as you know, Lauren Cox, are important to me. So I want to be able to see guys get to the quarterback. And Leonard Floyd is somebody this season that I believe can actually take it to the next level. And that being 10 sacks, I really believe that's a fair assessment or amount to get from that football player if he's up to the task and he's not injured.
I totally agree with you, and I think that another guy who could approach the double-digit sacks is Akeem Hicks, a guy that's going to be very rich very soon. Let's listen to the play call on the sack he had on Mariota today.
Four-man rush, steps away, and then gets drilled. Mariota is taken down by the big guy, Akeem Hicks.
To the left side of your screen, number 96, and he's working on the all-pro offensive tackle, Jack Conklin. Conklin lower than he was and pretty much walked.
Lauren, can you talk a little bit about Hicks and give us your overall impressions on the play of the defense against the Titans?
Yeah, I was just looking. You mentioned potentially 10 sacks for Akeem Hicks, and I don't think that's quite in his radar. I was just looking at the number of players that played 3-4 defensive end last year that had 10 sacks is blank, zero. So I mean, he put up 8 last year, and I mean you can get up to 10, but certainly a phenomenal season for him last year. And I think you're gonna see just in this scheme, you don't get a lot of sack production as much from your defensive ends, but still phenomenal game from him, phenomenal game from this defense for the most part, especially in that first half. Phil mentioned Christian Jones had a great game. Jarrell Freeman was as solid as ever. Started to see some more consistency from Kyle Fuller. Still maybe want to see a little bit more from a B.W. Webb opposite him in the backup. But, with this front seven, we know is going to be the strength of this team, and they really look like it against the Titans.
Shane, can you please comment a little bit on the defensive play today?
Defense overall, I think we can all see it, guys. I think we have to incorporate Mitch Trubisky into this also. You can just feel this whole unit on that side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, really starting to come together, and they're starting to gain praise, on a national level, that you're starting to hear more and more that, oh, maybe these Chicago Bears are going to surprise some teams, and that's all going to start with this defense. And the reason that I brought up Mitch Trubisky is because I think he's the main person on the other side of the ball to really help balance this entire thing, and it's going to make a Chicago Bears team overall better. You see that second year growth from a guy like Leonard Floyd. Him not so much taking that a huge giant step because he's a fabulous player, just by himself, but I think you're just seeing this whole unit start to gel together so much, and I think the person on this team, not so much. I think we all know probably who I'm going to bring up here on this defensive line that really makes this whole engine go is Eddie Goldman, and keeping this kid healthy is so vitally important to each member of the defense that's behind that defensive line and the guys on each side of him. He's really the engine to this whole thing and really the bright spot to me on this whole defense. And I don't think we can undersell a kid like this that I don't think gets a lot of love from a lot of fans. I think they see the flash plays from like Leonard Floyd and Akeem Hicks with a big sack or tackle. But you see Eddie Goldman down there doing all that dirty work and eating up blocks and creating lanes for these linebackers to fly through and make plays and opening up things for a guy like Akeem Hicks.
Had a great game today, Shane.
I think Eddie Goldman's played fantastic all preseason.
Phenomenal today.
He was honestly dominant today.
One of his best this preseason, I think.
And I want to say this, he absolutely embarrassed Marcus Mariota today. That defensive front and those linebackers really, this is called the dress rehearsal for the season, as you know. But in all of the Mitch Trubisky and Mike Glennon stuff, and that's really our focus, really, has been, and understandably so, is lost, is what an ass whooping that defense put on the Tennessee Titans.
Lauren, over at Pro Football Focus, where you are employed as an analyst, Eddie Goldman got the top overall grade and followed by Lamar Houston and Akeem Hicks. I wonder if you had anything to do with the grading, but none, but whatever. Can you talk a little bit about Lamar Houston's play?
Yeah, so Lamar Houston's grade was brought down significantly by the two penalties he had because he was very effective as a pass rusher. They credited him with a sack, a hit, and a hurry on 24 pass rushes, but that also doesn't include the – I didn't look up the exact number, but there were more than a couple plays where he gets credit because he beats the blocker, but then the quarterback gets rid of the ball or gets out of the pocket before he was able to cause pressure. So maybe Akeem Hicks actually made the quarterback move, but Lamar Houston beat his guy too. That still goes into his grade on his pass rush grade. So he got really high pass rush grade and then kind of average run and pass coverage, and then brought down on the grade a little bit from the penalties. But still, same as last week, phenomenal in these passing situations. Really, it seems like they were using him again in those passing-only situations, 9 snaps against the run and 30 passing plays. They trying to kind of keep him, you know, you don't need a lot of Lamar Houston tape this preseason. So really impressive performance from him. And then offensively, a guy like Cody Whitehair graded out pretty darn well too. You know, Grasso struggled a little bit next to him, but I really like what I've seen, you know, from sort of the guys that you know can do it and coming back and picking up where they left off.
Phil, during the game, you were tweeting about Christian Jones's play, and Pro Football Focus agrees with you. They gave him a very high grade of 80.9. Talk a little bit about what you saw out of Jones's efforts today and why he's probably going to make this roster and be a valuable addition.
You know, sometimes these guys get forgotten about or overlooked. People classify things as fits, but when you look at linebackers and linebacker play, especially when they're versatile with that kind of size speed ratio that the kid had, the instincts and those intangibles weren't quite polished the last few years, whereas this year you're seeing a guard pull and him read it instinctively and attack downhill and finish physically when it comes to the football, and then with his pass rush or blitz, this is a big athletic man. Don't stop your feet. Run through running backs and attack them just like you were an offensive lineman and get off of them using your hands. We're seeing that with Christian Jones, and we're seeing an angry Christian Jones, it seems. He plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I love the physicality. There was one run where Henry just really got great blocking, broke through. All of a sudden, everybody's bottled up, and he's going to break it. And Christian Jones stays unblocked. He actually delivers the blow, gets off of his block, and continues to fight through the mess and physically gets into Henry and brings him down. It would have been a huge gain, gets overlooked on the stat sheet. But the effort that he did to get there, I'll have to put it up because it really stood out that this kid, it said to me in watching this kid finally gets it, that his effort all the way through the whistle, he didn't get relieved to be blocked. He wanted to make the play. And those hungry type of football players at that position, Chicago knows well. And if this kid is ready, I mean, he's going to be a versatile piece to the puzzle because I believe his pass rushing talent is there too. So you can use him inside and outside, especially when you need that young, those young legs outside to get to the quarterback. Christian Jones offers a lot of versatility. Was kind of an after effect signing because of last year. I really think he dedicated himself this offseason and really came into camp ready to play. I'm excited about that football player.
Lauren, I want to go back to you. Rad Chad Zad on Twitter asked if Eddie Jackson is locked in as a starter at safety. He didn't do anything particularly outstanding today, and Adrian Amos was involved in more tackles, four tackles. Jackson had only one. Have you had a chance to study the safety play between those two, and do you have an opinion on who's going to be starting next to Quinton Demps, week one?
It was definitely a big step forward this week for Eddie Jackson to get the first team reps, because in the last both of the first two preseason games, it's Amos that's been the first one out there, but then they both get the same number of drives. And I haven't had a chance to look yet to see how the drives were split up or how the actual total snaps were split up. But, you know, Jackson was a guy, again, like you said, don't think he was really all that involved. He wasn't really targeted much. I think, let's see, did he get flagged for a penalty, or was there was something he was out of position for? Or no, you know,
missed the tackle on the big third down.
Yeah, so you know, that's sort of the area that you want to see him. Like, that was pretty the only mistake he made, but he also didn't make a lot of big plays positively either. I mean, neither he or Amos were targeted in coverage in this game, which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that they shut down everyone, but certainly they never left someone wide open and were punished for it in terms of their direct coverage. But you saw Amos come down and make a few nice plays against the run, and Jackson was sort of just a guy in that area. So, you know, it's hard to, you don't want to downgrade Jackson for not making big plays, especially when Amos didn't either, but I don't think either one really did much to separate themselves in this one.
Shane, Rad Chad Zad also asked a question if we can trade Mark Sanchito. You know what? I do think that there's something to that question. And, you know, what are you going to get from Mark Sanchez in a trade? A seventh-round draft pick, if that, right? But, you know, if you keep three quarterbacks and week four, five, six, when a quarterback for some NFL team goes down, they're going to be wanting to go for a team is going to make a desperate trade for a quarterback. And so if you've got Mark Sanchez on the roster, you dangle him. If it's not Glennon that you're dangling. So what are your thoughts on that?
If I could throw a follow-up on that too, for Phil or Shane, is Mark Sanchez better than any quarterback on the Jets right now? I was asked that on Twitter.
I think so. I would. I mean,
that's a great question.
Well, Bryce Petty had a really good game yesterday, but he was injured. I don't know what the extent of that injury was.
No, you know, I think I pointed out to you guys, you know, Mark Sanchez, you know, takes a lot of grief about the
buff. I think Mark Sanchez is better than Glennon, to be honest with you. And that's my real talk. Sorry, Shane. I didn't mean to cut you off. You came in.
Yeah, you're getting good at it. No,
Go ahead.
I think he gets beat up a lot, you know, from people, like I said, for the butt fumble and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, we hear, you know, what he did behind the scenes with Dak last year. And you've heard Trubisky and Glennon, you know, praise him for things that he's doing kind of behind the scenes. And, you know, just every day, you know, stuff that isn't really ever going to show up, you know, on tape or anything like that. You just being so similar to Trubisky, not having a lot of experience getting drafted, coming to a you know, big city, you know, going to New York and Trubisky to Chicago, things like that. And I really have no problem. Yes, I know that these roster spots are precious, but to me, it's more concerning that I'm going to give Mitch Trubisky absolutely every asset possible that he needs to succeed. And if that's having a guy around like Mark Sanchez to be with him every day in meetings and off the field and to show him things that way, I think that's worth its weight in gold right there. So I agree with you, Aldo. I think he should have a spot on this 53. I know a lot of people don't, or a lot of teams don't prefer to carry the third quarterback, but like you said, who knows in this game of football what happens? I mean, especially here. Yeah, absolutely. You have a team like Jed. Look down at Jacksonville. Look what their past, you know, 10 days have been like, you know, at the quarterback position with, you know, Bortles is the starter. He gets benched. And Chad Henne comes in and plays. Now Bortles, the is the starter again. So, you know, anything can happen. But I'm just not going to discount what Mark Sanchez is bringing to Mitch Trubisky away from the football field.
I want to just double down and put my name to this. If the plan was to have Mark Sanchez be the starter going into the season, I would be more at ease because I think he's a better quarterback than Mike Glennon from what I've seen of Mike Glennon versus the Mark Sanchez tape, including the butt fumble and all the stuff that Shane said he gets a lot of shit for. And that's just honest to goodness opinion. It's not going to be the popular opinion, but how many people thought Josh McCown was nobody when he's playing for the Hartford Colonials here in Connecticut in the USFL league over here, the United States Football League, not the old USFL, Aldo, back in the 80s, but the guy's still playing at 38. You know, I'm looking at Mark Sanchez. If that was the role that you're looking for, to hold down, you know, 72 starts, going to the AFC Championship twice, that makes me understand the plan. But Mike Glennon has yet to answer who the hell he is, except below average. And if Mike Glennon came out here and balled out, and I know I'm going back to Mike Glennon, but
it's okay.
If he came out here and balled out, the biggest cheerleader for the guy would be right here on this show, because I fight for the tape and the truth. And the truth is, I don't know what you're going to get, but I do know what you're going to get isn't going to be pretty come opening day with Mike Glennon. And then it just throws your hands up again and be like, what the heck are these guys doing? And that, to me, is a bad plan. With Mark Sanchez, you're getting the veteran out there. Mind you, this is the same coaching staff that didn't know what they had in Jordan Howard and Cameron Meredith, and also the same coaching staff that moved Kyle Long to right tackle and a week before the game. And then, oh, yeah, let's move him to left guard now, back to right guard, back to left guard. This is this coaching staff. So for anybody to say to me or Aldo Gandia or Lauren or Shane, or just trust in the plan. If this guy's the coach, you don't know. I do know. I do know that this has happened before, and you really can't trust this coaching staff to make the right evaluation and personnel. The plan for Mike Glennon is awful one, and that is where I stand on that.
Anybody want to rebut that? Butt fumble?
Butt fumble?
All right.
I think we're all on the same page with the quarterbacks, guys. I mean, Aldo, if it was up to you, are you trotting Trubisky out there game one? Or are you sending him back down?
You know, I'm a little torn by this whole scenario. I wish we would not have gotten ourselves into this situation. I wish that the $16 million guaranteed guaranteed to Mike Glennon were instead invested in Melvin Ingram, the stud outside linebacker who is his new contract with the Chargers is averaging $16 million a year. Could you imagine what he would be like on the defense? And then just go ahead and bring in the bridge quarterback, whether it's Sanchez, whether it's Hoyer. If you're targeting Mitch Trubisky, you know, and the Bears clearly were right after the season, they had made up their mind that Trubisky was their guy. Why go through all the fucking trouble of trying to bring in Mike Glennon and psych everybody out that he's going to be the number one quarterback? Fuck that. You're going to trade up to number two anyway to get your guy. So we've thrown away $16 million on a giraffe who clearly is not athletically the number one quarterback. Where Trubisky, I mean, you know, in terms of athleticism, in terms of accuracy, in terms of all those traits that we look for in a quarterback, Greg Gabriel today tweeted out that there's only one thing that Glennon has over Trubisky, and it's a very important thing. It's NFL experience. Well, how the fuck is he going to get the NFL experience if he's sitting on the bench for a team that clearly, you know, no one has expectations that Glennon is going to lead us to the Super Bowl. So I know I'm going on a rant here on your question, but, you know, four beers in, I have to
start. Finally make sense.
Play that Blackhawks.
Yeah, right.
Flashback. We take you back to 2010 when the Chicago Blackhawks advanced to the 2010 Stanley Cup Finals and Aldo Gandia was interviewed by ABC News.
This is fantastic. It's been since 1961 that we had the cup, and now it's coming back to Chicago! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
That's finally making sense, young man.
I'm learning from the best.
Doesn't this kind of prove a little nugget that Trubisky put out there during this week, I think, during practice in one of his press conferences? He said, I think I've progressed a little bit faster than even mm-hmm. the Bears were expecting me yep. to. And they said, well, how do you know that? And he said, well, it's just a feel that mm-hmm. I have. And, you know, so it kind of proves, you know, if this was the Bears' overall plan with Glennon, that maybe the original plan was, hey, we know this kid is super raw. We're not really, you know, we're essentially going to write 2017 off for him. And it's really just one more thing that we should be happy about with this quarterback, with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, is that it's pretty obvious that he's put in the effort on and off the field to make that progression a lot faster than really any of us had expected. But there you go. That's all part of it. That huge, there was a big unknown with Glennon, and his unknown is trending to the negative side, and the unknown with Mitch Trubisky is trending upwards in a very positive way. So it's kind of crazy how that's playing out.
Can I add one other thing about first round quarterback?
Go for it.
You know, each one is totally different from the next. It's almost like a fingerprint. You know, you can compare athleticism and what have you to one another, but you can't compare these things until they play out. And when you look back on the history of the Bears' quarterback position, especially at first-round picks and Cade McNown, Jim McMahon, Rex Grossman, I think those are the three, Jim Harbaugh. The only one that showed any kind of athleticism like this probably was Harbaugh. But then you throw in the accuracy, and none of them had what I've seen in Mitch Trubisky. And doing this for a long time, I just haven't seen this kind of ability in a young quarterback in a long time. And if you look at what Dak Prescott was able to do with the Cowboys, like I was saying earlier, this kid's a hell of a lot more accurate and similar athleticism to the young man. Just look at that one play. And I know Charles Davis did a great job today, Aldo, and assessing him fairly and saying, look at him, he's scrambling, but he's keeping his eyes downfield like a veteran to make a play with the football. That's more important, but he still ran and put pressure on the defense. This guy is special, guys. You know, they did all this background stuff and behind closed doors, like Aldo said. Excellent job, Aldo, breaking that down. I know, Shane, you want to talk 1 second. I just feel like sometimes the plan has to change for the betterment of what everybody in the room understands, and that's Mitchell Trubisky gives us the best chance to win. And what is the bottom line in the NFL? It's to win. So no matter how you do it, you're not going to retard this kid's growth whatsoever because you have a talented running back who, by the way, looked phenomenal today, by the way, guys, and that's Jordan Howard. So I just think the Bears have never been in a place, Shane, where they've drafted a possible superstar at the most important position in sports, and maybe Chicago's not used to that since Jordan and Peyton. So now it's time, and I know that's high praise, but I just haven't seen it, and I'm not hyping this. This was, like Shane said, my fourth quarterback, and to be fair to Lauren Cox, in private circles and talking to this young man, Cox, that is, he was saying, Phil, this kid is my second ranked quarterback. I really believe in him. And he kept touting the kid. So there's a reason for this plan. And I just think that now is the time to put him in there and get the most out of your selection. It really is that simple to me. Go ahead, Shane. Sorry.
You know, with how well Trubisky has shown in these three preseason games and, you know, the progression that he's been on, something that kind of popped into my head today is, to me, and I know we talked about this after the Denver game, that pass that he had to Daniel Brown in the end zone that was incomplete, that kind of came back to me today. Really, two of his most impressive plays of the preseason have been incomplete passes.
Yeah. You know,
that one today when he rolled out and bought some time in the pocket and then rolled out and fired down, which, I mean, Victor Cruz should have caught the pass.
Oh, yeah.
But right. That was – we're obviously not going to see a play like that with a Mike Glennon, but I said those two plays really stick out to me in this preseason. I mean, but it just shows you how much potential that this kid possesses just on those two plays, like I said, and they were both incomplete passes. But that certainly wasn't a very good look for Victor Cruz, who's I think in a lot of trouble to make this 53.
Yeah,
he's
in a battle. But I'll tell you, the one play that really turned me on about Trubisky was this one.
Got to watch the film.
Oh.
But
shit, not that one.
He's a hell of a talker.
Take two.
Trubisky on the fake, gonna let it fly and let it fly deep. He's got a man, and he's got himself a touchdown. Tanner Gentry.
That could be a combo that we'll be hearing a lot of over the years, and maybe we should hear it week one. Any final thoughts? Let's go around the horn here. Lauren Cox, I know you've got a podcast tomorrow where you're going to talk 40 minutes about this game. Give us kind of a clue as to what you're thinking about sharing with your audience.
Well, I have no clue up to this point, so that's about where I'm at.
We've given you tons of stuff.
I was surprised that you didn't play the "Go, Mitchell, go!" That was all yours.
That one's all yours. That was good. But what are your thoughts overall about this all-important third preseason game and where this Chicago Bears team is?
It was sort of as expected in this game. You know, Mike Glennon, give him a game plan and give him a running game, and you're going to put the points on the board, and you're going to have an offense. This isn't an off-up 35, 42 points, you know, just because you're limited with your quarterback and now a little bit at your wide receiver positions. And then you, at the same time, you have the front seven playing well and the secondary doing just enough to keep the Titans off the board. You know, you went into halftime, what was it, 12-0? That kind of feels like what this regular season is going to, maybe you have a little bit more offensive success and maybe not quite as much defensive success, but that's sort of what the Mike Glennon Bears feel like. And it also feels like the Mitch Trubisky Bears would be in it every game. And it doesn't feel like Mike Glennon is going to be in it if you're down two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, whereas I'm perfectly comfortable with Mitch Trubisky as my quarterback down 14 with 4 minutes left in the game. And that's sort of the Bears leaving you wanting a little bit more.
Phil, lots of decisions ahead regarding rosters, regarding who's going to be the number one quarterback, dealing with these injuries, but give us one takeaway about what you saw today that you're either excited about or apprehensive about.
I was a little apprehensive about. I'll give you both sides.
Cool.
I was a little apprehensive about the center position, Jaronis Grasu and Cody Whitehair. The injuries or whatever aside, another personnel thing, and I believe the commentators, I'm a big fan of Charles Davis, believe they talked about and questioned it themselves why you would move Cody Whitehair to guard and then put Jaronis Grasu in there and assess him when you're trying to have cohesion moving forward into the season without a Kyle Long and so on, and the Cush injury happened. to me, I agree with them questioning it. I believe it's as stupid as the Mike Glennon thing. I think Cody Whitehair, he could play left tackle, he could play guard, but I really believe this is a superstar at center and really makes the engine go in the running game, where Grisou really struggled today. In a first glance, there was several down and distance plays, we'll call them, where you knew it was going to be a run, that he struggled to scoop and to get to his guys holding his mouthpiece. I think that sets you back there. I don't think that's a positive moving forward. Again, not earning it, just putting him out there type of thing because someone's hurt. Assess your guards. Put him at guard. See if he could play and be versatile, because he's not as good as a center as you have with Whitehair there. So that was a negative. And the positive to me, I believe there's a lot of numbers at the safety position. I think that the guy that really excites me is this Demps. You saw him make the error in the play. He comes back the very next play and sets the tone on a screen play that could have been huge. He just sniffed it out. He's aware. He's a leader. He's everything that you wanted Antrell Roll to be and more. And I think at that position that has had a revolving door, worse, mind you, than the quarterback position, which is saying a lot because there's two back there. All the way back, we could go. I once tweeted out all the names, Aldo. Maybe Lauren could somehow dig that up and we could put it on Bears Barroom, because the names are unbelievable at the safety position. I just feel, as Shane was talking about with Devin Hester, I feel confident that Demps is going to come every day to play and play well. So that's what I took out of this. One positive and one negative.
Thank you for sharing that. And now we turn to the smartest man in the bar room, Shane Marceau.
Something that just gave me just a little bit of apprehension, and it's not a huge thing, but we saw all of this training camp and OTA hype surrounding Adam Shaheen, and I saw a lot of fans on Twitter today saying, you know, the kid is he totally sucks and it's a wasted pick. And if you look back at just about any tight end, it's pretty rare for a tight end to come in and you know, not essentially dominate, but I mean put up really, really good numbers as a rookie, and sometimes even into their second year. It's usually around year two, year three, where they start to make their hay as an NFL tight end. And that's coming from a big-time, you know, collegiate Division I program. You're talking about a kid that came from Division II Ashland, and it's, you know, it's almost hard watching the kid right now just because the entire scene seems too big for him. It's like the whole bright lights, big city, and it's like he's got the holy shit. I still can't believe that I'm here. And he's a guy that there's going to have to be a ton of patience with, and hopefully Bears fans can understand that, because like I said, tight ends, and Phil can attest to this, it's just not a position that you're going to come in and put up monstrous numbers in year one.
It's the reason why he's the smartest guy in the room right here.
That's right,
Aldo. This is really a great point. And it's something that frustrates me, too. It takes a while for that position to acclimate itself to the speed of the interior of the NFL. And what I mean by that is the middle linebackers, outside linebackers, those safeties flying over. It's a growing process. And to say this guy's a bust after three preseason games is so Bears right now.
Shane, you want to
put it is a great point.
Yeah.
Shane, you want to put a button on it?
Yeah. That's wrap her up. I'm good.
He is the smartest man in the room.
Well, and I will finish up by saying, you know what? We should all be encouraged by what is happening at Halas Hall and these Chicago Bears. Nothing is perfect, but what we are seeing is a team that is trending up, a team that professional analysts, guys who don't know shit, but sometimes when they say something that we agree with, we pay attention to and broadcast it. Professional analysts are talking about this team being a potential playoff contender. And when you have a on the rise franchise quarterback like Mitchell Trubisky, you have to be happy about what's going on. When you have a Pro Bowl caliber running back like Jordan Howard, you have to be happy. When you have an interior offensive line that consists of Josh Sitton, Cody Whitehair, Kyle Long, hopefully he gets back from injury quickly, you have to be happy. And most of all, what I'm most happy about outside of Trubisky is this defense. This fucking defense is looking like they could be the monster of the Midway Part 2. They clearly are going to be as good as the Lovie Smith defenses, and they're a stud player or two. If Ryan Pace can nail a draft pick or two in the next drafts, they could be something like the 85 Bears. A little bit of hyperbole there, but that's what I do because I love this team and I can't wait to them to get on top so they can fuck the Packers, fuck the Lions, fuck the Vikings, and we win a division title because that's what we should be doing. All right? So that's our show.
Fuck you, Phil Atoshin. Fuck you, Lauren Cox. Fuck you, Shane Marsha. You guys wanted a quarterback. I wanted to wait until the second round, so fuck everybody.
Ah, you had to remind me of that, right? Well done. All right, remember everyone, if you drink, please don't drive, and always bear down.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
That made me sweat a little bit.
Coach Gandia. I would hire Aldo and say, Aldo, listen, I need you to work with fullbacks. You are going to be my fullback coach. No fullback is coming back to the huddle, missing a block. You are going to be in their face, in their ear. You have one job. Get on that backer and get his ass out of the hole.
Yo,
I think so too, Phil.
Oh.
Get her on the air.
Get her on the air.
Is this the girl?
This is Lauren's pretend girlfriend.
Oh my god.
She exists. I thought it was a catfish. I really did.
You got a deeper voice than he does.
Yeah, I know. His balls haven't dropped yet.
I love you.
That as a sound bite.
Yes.
Do you know anything at all about football? Because if you do, we need you to replace Lauren.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can do that. I mean, I know next to nothing, but I can come on.
Well, we love
you. You fit right in with the kid.
Do you have any thoughts on Nutella?
I love it. What?
Lauren's you favorite food, Nutella.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend.
I feel like I'm missing out on an inside joke.
Your
here.
Boyfriend seems to love Nutella. Go.
He spreads it on what his hamburgers.
Oh, on the burgers? Yeah. That's weird. I know. He's told me about that. He wants me to try it.
Well, the more you get to know him, you'll find out that he spread it on a lot of stuff. But that's for another day.
Oh, I know. I know.
Oh, our ratings just went up.
What did I get myself into here?
Do you have a Lamar Houston jersey?
She no longer is available, Lauren.
She just jumped out the window.
Lauren, like, totally grabbed the headset from us. No, wait, what's going on here?
Nice.
Still here? Are you sharing a headset?
We are. Isn't it cute?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Cue up that music, Aldo.
Well, and I got to tell you, that picture he's shared of you and him together, I mean, that is priceless. It's really nice to see both of you happy together, although I have cropped out Lauren out of that picture and have your photo up on my wall.
Oh, boy.
I saw the cone head, by the way. Thank you for that comparison.
No, if you cut off the cone head part, yeah, just the face. That girl's hot. I was giving you a compliment.
That's fucked up, Shane.
I wasn't saying you got a cone head. I specifically pointed that out.
I was defending you.
I was already insecure about the forehead, but thank you.
All right. Well, you're from Minnesota. You're from Minnesota, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've lived in Wisconsin for the past like 7 years, but I lived in Minnesota for.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those Minnesota girls.
Has he converted you from the purple to the blue, orange, and white?
Never.
Oh.
Nope. You look way too skinny to have been living in Wisconsin for 7 years. No, really? You're a Vikings fan?
Yeah. But I don't know. Honestly, I don't really follow football that much.
Oh, my God.
So
I know.
At least she's not from Europe, Lauren.
Like Shane's wife?
Yeah, Jesus.
European soccer?
I gotta watch fucking soccer.
Oh my God.
Make fun of you guys a little bit. We'll start a podcast.
The wives of the barroom.
The wives? Podcast. The wives of the barroom.
Oh my God, you're gonna have to have an SAP button for Ela.
Oh, really?
I don't understand what the hell she says.
Can you tape Ela and just get her to say things for the show?
I sent you that one video, remember?
That's not going to help. I'm talking
Oh my gosh.
I am very fragile. I don't ask her to do stuff like that.
I can't share your sex tapes with the barroom.
Lauren does.
Fuck you guys.
Have your ratings gone up?
Hey, actually, absolutely. What's your name?
Jess.
Jess?
Yeah.
You should have been around when it was actually really funny. Lauren tried picking up my 14-year-old niece a couple years ago.
You know, I heard about that, actually.
He's keeping no secrets from you. I like this.
Yeah, no, he's got pedophile tendencies.
I figure I'd better be the one that says it rather than have her find out through you, asshole.
Yeah, no, I have an 11-year-old cousin that he's already talked about a little bit, so it's okay. Oh,
I thought you were going to say you have an 11-year-old son. I was going to say, Jesus Christ, it's almost Lauren's age.
Yes, I had a baby when I was 8 years old.
Well, you're from Wisconsin. That's okay.
Okay, it makes sense.
She doesn't have that Minnesotan tone. You know?
You can hear it, though, when she says Wisconsin. Say Wisconsin.
What?
Wisconsin? Say Wisconsin. Yeah, you can hear it a little bit.
Yeah, there's an emphasis on the on.
Yeah, on.
Some people around here say Wisconsin.
Put the Nutella on me. Put the Nutella on me.
No comment.
That's what Lauren says.
Yeah. She's like, Lauren, you fucking told them about that shit?
Well, we've been looking for a female voiceover narrator to kind of introduce the show.
Oh,
so
we need
definitely. Do you mind doing an audition right now? Can you say, "Welcome to Bears Barroom," starring Lauren Cox?
I don't know about that.
Come on, we're all friends. We're all friends here.
Welcome to Bears Barroom, starring Lauren Cox.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh wait, he's the only star?
Don't let this girl go, Lauren. She collapses under peer pressure. That's the kind of girl you want right
there.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, Jess, it's really nice to meet you. I hope that you come back on the show and do some voiceover narrations for us and just talk football and...
Yeah, I'll add my football feedback. I know a lot, so I'll be valuable.
You know, you can just laugh at our jokes. We need help with that.
Are you funny?
Well, if you don't think we're funny over the last 10 minutes of what we've been saying, then the answer is no.
She figured out who Mitch Trubisky was recently, so we're getting there.
Nice.
She's like, Glennon and in. Trubisky? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there.
She said Trubinsky the first time, but we're working on it.
Jess, in all seriousness, how do you fall in like with a guy like Lauren, who all he does all day is watch football tape?
It's all in the name, Aldo.
Well, yeah, that, and he's got a car, and...
Oh, nice.
Wow.
She is from Wisconsin.
No, they already said that. They said it in the last
one. Oh, gotcha.
All right, I gotta get out of here, because it's Game of Thrones time.
Could she do... one other favor for us?
Absolutely, she can.
Could she just say, listening to Bears Barroom Radio.
Three.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, 3, 2, 1, go.
You're listening to Bears Barroom Radio with your special guest, Jess Bierke.
There you go. Nice.
Man,
you should do it one more time and say Jess Cox, and then that's going to really throw the whole thing into a tizzy.
Which side are you on, you thing?
All righty. I'm out of here. Jess, it was nice meeting you, and we hope to have you again anytime you want. Just barge on into the bar.
Open invitation.
You got it.
Thanks, guys.
Open invite.
That's right.
All right, guys. Great show.
Later, fellas.
Let's all go bend the knee.